Welcome to the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast, the nationally recognized preferred provider for asset protection and tax planning in the nation. This show is for investors and business owners looking to save on taxes and build long-term wealth with Toby Mathis, an attorney, author, business owner, and a featured instructor at Anderson's Tax and Asset Protection event held throughout the country. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, this is Toby Mathis with the Anderson Business Advisors Podcast. I'm joined today by Justin Stoddard, who is, he works with real estate agents. I'm going to let him tell his story, but I think he's absolutely a great guy to have on. Excited to hear what he has to say, and we'll just jump off. So first off, welcome, Justin.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it, Toby. I admire a lot of what you do from previous conversations, and it's an honor to be on your show.
Hey, I appreciate that, and it's mutual. Tell the world what you do and why you do it.
Perfect. No, I appreciate it. My day job is I actually work for a title and escrow company, Old Republic Title, out of Portland, Oregon. And I really get the privilege not of doing the title and escrow work, but of more on the business development side. So my role entails really acting as a business consultant to real estate agents, mm-hmm. helping them to be better at what they do, to better serve their clients and to serve more clients. In that work, I've really kind of found a passion around helping well-paid sales professionals from all different industries recognize the threats that are coming at them right now and how to rise above them to remain well-paid and to remain really fundamental in the transaction that they're a part of.
You just hit on something that technology is changing so much, and especially in the real estate world, the information sharing world. You can't just sit back and say, I'm a realtor, therefore you need to come through me and to buy a house or sell a property or to work with somebody. What are you seeing in your world, again, the escrow and title world, because you're working with nothing but real estate agents, I'm assuming. Yeah. What do you see as people separating themselves and making themselves relevant?
You know, it's really interesting. You said something, Toby, that, you know, agents are no longer entitled to be in the transaction. For years, they're the only ones that had the information. Obviously, that changed when they opened up the MLS systems to Zillow and others. And now information was accessible to the general public. And beyond that, now tech companies have created offerings that start to minimize what a real estate agent does and therefore gets paid and or eliminates the real estate agent entirely from the transaction. It's really no different than what we've seen in insurance, right, with many of the online shopping portals and even going further back than that and, you know, in the travel industry and others. The thing that I'd like to point out, the difference between those industries is that if you really mess up on buying an airline ticket, it's not the end of the world, right? You catch another flight, you get to your, you know, designated city and all is well. You mess up on a real estate transaction. You mess up on making key tax decisions like what you provide. And the ramifications are much, much bigger. And so I think, you know, many of these tech companies are trying to tell the tale that it's as easy as going online and shopping for insurance.
Yeah.
You can go to an H&R Block, for example. And as you pointed out when, you know, we had a conversation before, is that you might save a little bit of money, but what you net is going to be drastically different when working with an expert as opposed to working with a technology offering and a low paid worker. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if I answered your question, but I think
you're right that a lot of people, like, the true value of somebody who knows what they're doing is that they're a net positive. In other words, not only do they cover their own costs, but they put more money in your pocket. I think that's in just about everything. And a lot of folks are really enamored by this idea of technology. And in real estate, we're seeing it all over the place. You got Zillow and Redfin and all these other guys. Yeah. Are they actually buying properties now? Like, am I understanding that correctly?
Yep. In Vegas, where you're at, in Portland, where I'm at, it was interesting. We had a really kind of well-versed agent here in our area track a company by the name of Open Door. They came in, they mm-hmm. buy a property at wholesale and sell it at retail, right? And mm-hmm. They don't say it like that, but it's clear that they buy and they sell. They don't buy and hold. So obviously they're going to buy with the intent of buying it at some sort of margin to where they can flip it. Mm-hmm. And this particular transaction was sold to Open Door, and they flipped and resold it 4 months later for about $50,000 more than they bought it for, including repairs, including carrying costs. So mm-hmm. yes, it was more convenient, right? But the downside is that client, you know, lost a premium for that convenience, right? This isn't a few extra bucks. This is $12,000 a month, you know, for 4 months that they gained in convenience.
Yeah. But I mean, kind of walk me through it. When you're doing an Open Door, are you still paying any sort of realtor fees or anything like that? Or is the reason people do it is because the transaction costs are so low? Or
it's not because of that. It's a great question. The reason why people do it is simply out of convenience, is they don't necessarily want to stage their home, repair their home, get it ready to go to market, nor do they want to necessarily, you know, have it open for other people to come through. They just want to get it off their hands. Like they just want to be done. And so the fees are disclosed, right? That's between 8 to 10% is what that was disclosed on this particular property.
Wow.
It's obviously higher than what you'd pay real estate agents. But in addition to that, there was a premium. You know, they sold it at a much different rate. So all that included, that's where the kind of $48,000 to $50,000, you know, came in. Is that, that's how much it costs those clients to have that convenience of getting the property unloaded in a couple of weeks.
All right, Justin. So before we dive further into that, because that's really interesting, I want to go back to that in a second, but I skipped right over who you are. You said you're in Portland, but what got you into real estate?
Yeah, I love it. You know, I was raised by a family that was in real estate, both purchasing as well as investing. I've kind of always been around it. And I flipped properties kind of early in my college years with the help of some investors. That actually went to school to study construction management. So I studied, went to work for a high-end home builder and eventually left and started my own home building company. Built kind of $1 to $2 million homes in the Utah market. Did that for a number of years until 2008, 2009. At that point, the business opportunity of high-end home building wasn't there. It went all the way down from you know, luxury custom homes to kitchen and bath remodels to, I remember, you know, I was excited to win a project to build a deck and I thought I'm out. Right. Mm-hmm. And it was some good introspective time because I had to realize like, if I really love building homes, then I'll wait 5 years for this to come back and I'll slug it out. But my passion wasn't building homes. It's always been building people, really growing people. Hence my show, my kind of movement, the think bigger, you know, kind of model. And then secondly, you know, is growing business. I'm fascinated with strategic ways to position businesses to help them grow. And so I got out of the industry, you know, for a few years during the kind of the big downturn, and then was recruited back to work for a title company. And that's what I do to this day. So helped launch actually Old Republic Title here into the Oregon market. Just today, we're actually celebrating our 5 years here as a direct operation, 112 years as a company, but 5 years here as an operation. And we've passed some companies that have been here for decades and decades. So it's been a good run.
How's the Portland market? It's got to be a little nutty there right now, right?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because we have what's called the urban growth boundary, where they don't allow for urban sprawl to happen, right? They kind of keep a belt, if you will, around the kind of the sprawling neighborhoods. And what happens is it just constricts supply. That together with, we don't have a really kind of building friendly area. And so we end up having more demand than supply. Mm-hmm. So it keeps kind of prices artificially high. Yet at the same time, you know, we profess to want to have keep costs down. So I don't know, there's kind of some conflicting theories oftentimes from the same people that we want to keep housing costs low, yet we want to strict supply. So anyway, it doesn't totally make sense. Nevertheless, it helps keep prices again kind of artificially higher than they would. And you know, Portland experienced in 2008, 2009, the same things that the rest of the country experienced. But again, that limit of supply helps keep prices on the higher end and a little more stable than in other markets. You know, we've had some new legislation that has come out here over the past year that's caused some outside investors to kind of sour on Portland, which are pretty heavy rent control, landlord-tenant laws that haven't been landlord-friendly. And so it's an interesting place. It's a beautiful place, right? People come to Oregon because of the lush trees and the valleys and all that stuff. But for, you know, from a real estate standpoint, there's way more demand than supply. And I think that will help us stay strong regardless of what happens with tariffs and China and all that stuff that, you know, barring some kind of unforeseen catastrophic event like in 2008, I foresee our market to have some settling out. You know, we've Seattle, which is kind of a precursor to what our market does, experienced a little bit of downtick in their, you know, in their overall pricing. You know, we expect to see something similar, but kind of more some plateauing and then kind of more steady inclines as opposed to the sharp inclines that we've had over the past number of years.
Yeah, you guys just skyrocketed up. Seattle's got Amazon going nuts. So
yeah,
I went back to Seattle. I lived there for 20-something years. I went back and didn't recognize South Lake Union. They just built so many buildings all over. The big question for you in Portland is, there's two of them, which is A, are you a Voodoo Donut fan? And and B, you got Mount Hood and Mount Adams staring right at you.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. You know, the donuts are good. Voodoo Donuts creeps me out when they're with my kids. And
you don't wait. You brought your kids into Voodoo Donut? Yeah.
It's a you know, my kids
only do that once.
I know, right? I don't know that I'd go back. I was like, man, this place creeps me out. I don't know that they do voodoo in the back, but it definitely wasn't kind of a warm, fuzzy place you want to take your family.
No. They got some interesting donuts there with some interesting names. You can go look them up online. I'm just teasing. Hey, so you work with the real estate agents there, which is a very competitive marketplace. How do you differentiate? Like, and I should ask you this before we go, before you answer that, is do you like Think Bigger Real Estate is what you do.
Yeah.
Is that nationwide or is that focused primarily in the Portland area?
Yeah, we're working on growing a national audience. So definitely aren't constricted to Portland area people. I mean, that's where my network's at. So naturally I've got probably more guests from this area than not, but the gentleman that I was interviewing this morning was, the number two agent out of New Jersey, a Remax agent out there. So definitely looking to expand. I really feel passionate about, my message, which I know is very similar to yours. And I think that's probably why we get along so well, is that well-paid real estate agents and sales professionals are in trouble unless they really double down on innovating at a pace that's equivalent to that of technology. You know, I think, again, what's happening is that technology is coming in and replacing well-paid salespeople with the technology and with low-paid workers. And so in order to remain a well-paid sales professional, whether it be in your industry, whether it be in mine, agents need to become less salespeople and customer service representatives. Mm-hmm. Those parts are being replaced by technology and become more advisors, right? Become more experts and take whatever it is that you sell, whether it's title insurance, whether it's real estate, whether it's tax preparation, and layers of expertise and good advice, because that's what will differentiate you. And I think that's how agents have to, how they have to differentiate. For years, it's been, I've got better photography. I've got drone photography. Even that's now becoming commoditized. If you don't have that, you shouldn't even be in the game. You know, now it's really who can provide superior knowledge and insight that is helping their particular clients have either a preservation of their wealth or an increase in their wealth. And that's why I absolutely love your mission, Toby, of what you guys are doing, because there's so much opportunity, even so much more than I even realized after our conversation, just in listening to you and following your podcast, which is amazing. I would encourage anybody who's not subscribed yet to do so. But the amount of wealth that people can preserve for themselves and earn for themselves if they'll get expert advice is phenomenal. The same thing is true in real estate. Yeah. And the more that real estate professionals become real estate advisors and they really start helping people preserve and grow wealth through real estate, the whole fee conversation is off the table, right? It doesn't matter anymore. So what if you're another 1%, but you help people preserve, 8 or 9 or 10% wealth, or make a decision based on where, when, what, and how, that really moves the needle for them from a wealth standpoint, just like you guys do in the tax arena. To me, that's where well-paid sales professionals across all industries have to go and must go, or they will be replaced by tech and low-cost workers.
First off, thank you for the kind words that you said.
Yeah, mean them.
I want to make sure that we're focusing on you, but I always like it when somebody likes us too.
Are you looking to lower your taxes, protect your assets, and grow your wealth? Are you a real estate investor, stock trader, or business owner? If you answered yes, Anderson Advisors Tax and Asset Protection Workshop is for you. Let host Clint Coons, Toby Mathis, and Michael Bowman teach you how to protect and keep more of what you earn. Our workshops are held monthly throughout the country and via live stream. Two in-person tickets to the workshop are only $99. To learn more about the dates and locations, visit AndersonAP.com and register today.
But the something we were talking about earlier with these folks that were open door paying the higher fees,
yeah.
And something you said, which was it was convenient. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times salespeople, we're not the most convenient. We don't make it easy for our clients, and clients consume information in so many different ways. At the end of the day, you can automate only so much there, and you're going to have a human being that guides you, especially in situations like real estate. These are huge purchases and a misstep can cost you so much. Are you guys like, again, I'm still boggled by the open door, like that, open door that where you still paid 10% or something like that. That's just crazy.
Between 8 and 10%.
And so what are the agents doing that you're working with that's bridging that gap so they don't lose to the technology and that they keep their clients and grow their clients?
Yeah, I think part of it is being aware of other offers, mm-hmm. right? Not slamming them or slandering them. I mean, I hope this isn't seen in any way of slamming, open door iBuyers. The reality is they've got a great business model. If they can convince people from a convenience standpoint, it's like a convenience store. You walk into a convenience store, you're going to pay way more for that candy bar than if you bought it at like mm-hmm. Costco, right? And that's essentially their model, is that we're going to offer extreme convenience for you. And by the way, it's going to cost more, and I think good for them, right? But I think it behooves us as professionals to also be able to have a voice and communicate what's really happening there so that consumers can see the whole picture to say, okay, I could take that. It's going to cost me that much, or I could market it and sell it myself at retail and it's going to cost me this much. And which one do I want to do, right? Not sticking our head in the sand that this isn't happening and my clients aren't paying attention to this. They are paying attention to this. That's the big thing that we all need to realize is that no, they're seeing the billboards again, because these companies are well-funded. These are VC and Wall Street backed companies. They're spending money like we could never keep up with, right?
They're so valuable. That SaaS model is like 30 times earnings and they're negative. As soon as they can start making a profit, then all of a sudden they go through the roof on the valuation. Yeah.
And so you can't outspend them, but real estate agents can have an impact and other sales professionals can have an impact within their sphere and their database, right? They don't need to operate at the scale that these massive tech companies do. They can have an amazing business taking care of 300 families repeatedly and those referrals year over year over year. But in order to penetrate those 300 people to educate them that there is a difference. And what their difference is and what they get by going with a full service real estate advisor, that's on them. They have to be able to not only have that value, have that track record of offering that value, but they have to be able to communicate it in a one-to-one setting to where people get it and understand it and realize the difference. But they also need to be able to broadcast it to start to have a bigger voice and tell, you know, people that are going to be referred to them and the community at large that, hey, there is a difference. There's a difference shopping at a secondhand store versus Nordstrom. You bet. The prices are going to be different, but the quality and experience is going to be very different as well.
That's really interesting you bring that up, because we talk about Ritz-Carlton service and some of these others. You use these different monikers, but the whole idea is that you're going to receive a higher degree of service when you're going into a Nordy's or whatever else, and you know you're going to pay up the nose for it. What's weird is you're paying up the nose for less service if you're going through some of these software programs. And when I said SaaS earlier, software as a service, I never want to forget when people tell me that, whenever they say, oh, this is a SaaS model, it's software as a service. So there's still a service. It's just you're choosing not to deal with people. And so the big question is, why are you choosing not to deal with people? Why you don't want to have an advisor, or you don't trust people, or you don't want to deal with the headaches because there's pushy salespeople out there? Or what is it? What are you seeing in that world?
I mean, I think most agents to this day are still scared of video, right? You and I have set up our offices to be video studios because we believe strongly that we have a message that's important to get out there, and one-to-one settings is not fast enough. We don't have the backing and the funding to be able to compete with these VC and Wall Street-backed tech companies, but we can compete on an organic grassroots level. And I think real estate agents have to start to educate the fact that they're not paying more for an ROI on that, right? Like, clients are maybe paying more upfront if you're to look at just the fees, straightforward fees. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the net return, right? That's where agents need to start to speak up and sales professionals need to start to speak up to say, let's look at 3 months down the road. Let's look at a year down the road. Yeah. And see, how did this turn out 5 years down the road, right? I was actually teaching a class on this topic, and I asked agents, I said, does anyone here, can you think of a time when you gave somebody great advice that turned out really well for the client? And somebody raised their hand right away and they said, yeah, I told the client not to sell. They came to me and said, will you sell my home? This was kind of in the lows of 2008. Said, I just want to get out of this thing. I said, I don't think you should sell this home. And it would have sold for $250,000. He said he just sold the home for $750,000 9, 10 years later. Mm-hmm. And he said, it would have been easy for me to collect a commission that I probably needed at that time, but I knew it was not in his best interest. So there's a $500,000 net gain for that client by listening to that advice. And it's like, I said, have you told that story? And he said, not really. And I said, there's a problem with that. Yeah. You need to be taking those stories when you give good advice and use that in your portfolio of, hey, it's not just that I have good photography and pretty Joan photography, but let me tell you about the net difference in using me over not using, you know, some discount provider that just has written an algorithm to do the bare fundamentals of marketing and selling your home.
Mm-hmm. And there's also, like, whenever I look at the software, like, there's some really great things out there. I just kind of look at it as that's one element. And then the other element is people that actually know what's going on, know history. Especially in real estate, you're making some pretty big purchases there. I wouldn't want to just base it off of what I was able to see online. I mean, I have purchased properties sight unseen, but it's because I trusted the person that was selling it, because I had a relationship with them. And they're saying, hey, here's what these houses are going for. Here's what our rents are going to be and all this thing. And you do the kind of the trust but verify. Mm-hmm. But still, it was that relationship. If I didn't have that trust, I cannot imagine buying or selling something just straight off the internet. kind of trips me out, to be honest. It's weird.
Yeah. And it's, again, the wealth needle for most people, the buying and selling of a home is the largest transaction they'll ever do, right? Yeah. There are other investors where that's not the case. But for the average American, that's the reality. And I think because that can have such an impact upon somebody's wealth, it moves the wealth needle so
much. You need an expert, period. You need to have an advisor. You always need a guide. Mm-hmm. So if you're climbing up Everest, you need a guide. That's your first time climbing it up. If you've done it a whole bunch, maybe you just need some support. But for the most part, you're doing something for the first time or the second or the third, and it's not your profession, make sure you have a guide.
Yeah.
I'm still I think Zillow and all those things are great. You know, they're fun to look at houses when you're driving by. How much is that? You can see information pretty quick, but it doesn't have the human element.
Yeah.
What drives you, Justin? Because it seems to me like you have a pretty strong focus and a pretty strong will and a good sense of who you are. What drives you?
Man, I appreciate that. You know, I'm a family guy at heart. You know, this will probably surprise you. I don't know if I've shared this with you, but my wife and I have 6 children together. And
we've been busy.
I know we have been. My oldest will be 13 in November. So you can imagine the Stoddart household has 4 little girls and 2 boys under the age of 13. And that's kind of who we are. You know, at the core, I believe that there's a lot of joy and happiness that comes out of family life. And I feel like a lot of times the personalities that we tend to follow or glamorize are people that kind of live a lifestyle very contrary to that. And, you know, to each their own, but I want to make a case that happy family life is where it's at. Again, that's my opinion. That's my perspective. But I want young people and others to be able to see somebody who's passionate and successful in their profession and yet can have a family, whether that be a small family or a big family like mine. But there's, if you talk to anybody at the end of life, at the end of it's their family relationships and their close friend relationships that matter the most. And I think sometimes that's lost in the pursuit of other things. And so, you know, that's part of what drives me to want to be on a bigger stage is from a professional standpoint, I've got a mission to help well-paid sales professionals remain that way. And on a personal level, again, I want to make the case that family life is a really great way to live.
What percentage of the successful agents, this is a complete aside, and what percentage of the successful agents are just single people versus married? Do you see that there's a difference between them?
You know, it's interesting. I feel like the ones that have a healthy work-life balance are married.
We may as well just ban this show at this point. I'm just kidding.
Where, you know, ones that have understood the value of leverage, of hiring an assistant, of putting in systems and technology that helps them, you know, those are the ones that either are married and or stay married, right? There's others that don't, and they try and be all things to all people. And typically their family becomes more of a side dish than the main dish.
Oof.
And you see some turnover there in the family department, you know? So I think there's probably a fairly clear distinction of those that run their business like a business, long-term, sustainable, have a family, right? And that's part of the reason why they're motivated to get up and do what they do day in and day out and work hard. Like good realtors work really hard, long hours. They also know how to create boundaries and show up like a professional. Like if you were a medical specialist, you wouldn't be able to get a hold of me in the middle of the night, right? Mm-hmm. So I was an ER doctor. Right? You'd make an appointment and I'd have a very select series of appointment times that I'd be available to meet with you. And I feel like the more, again, that real estate agents can work like that, some of those appointments being with their spouse for a date night and their kids for, you know, family time. And
it creates value in that scarcity.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And also that it shows that you actually care. You have other things in the world other than just money. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you'd answer the phone at 2 a.m.
Right. Yeah. Just another dollar. Right.
Yep. I need to get this.
Yeah.
I think we've all been guilty because I'm a small business owner. I have been for over, more than 2 decades. And I sit here and we have 250 employees that all have needs and wants and everything else. And you want to help them. But at the same token, you realize that if you don't have a balance, you're toast. You're not going to make it. It's going to burn you out after just a few years. And you start realizing that, you have to have some you time and your family. You need to make sure that you're spending time with your spouse or significant other or your dogs or your cats or whatever it is. You better have some you time.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I don't come across too many people that vocalize it nowadays. It's almost like they're scared to say, by the way, I believe in having kids and a family. It's almost like you're waiting to get smacked by somebody out there.
Right. Yeah. Your carbon footprint's too big, right? Or something.
You're so selfish. You're procreating.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting how oftentimes I'll hear people like, how do you do that with like the kids are so expensive these days. And it's like, no, we make them expensive, right? For me, I earn my way through college and, you know, six kids, it's a little bit daunting, right? There's going to be some weddings, but at the end of the day, I think the best way to, you know, in the olden days, you used to look at families, people would actually have kids, not because they were a lot of work, but because they had a lot of work for them to do, right?
Yep.
Have more kids because we got a big farm. And somehow our society switched to the point of like, instead of kids being helpful and workers, they became not helpful and work.
They're a net loss is what happens. It used to be that they were a net gain because the labor of the child would more than cover their cost. Now it's the kids are a net cost.
Yeah. Which,
if that's why you're having kids, you got trouble.
Right. Yeah, so we don't do the best job of this, right? But I'm really trying to raise kids that they're going to be like paying for, like I'm training my son now to start a lawn care business, right? And a pressure washing business. And I said, as soon as you can do it to these standards, I'd be happy to help go promote you through the neighborhood and get you some jobs. Like, let's do it together. And he's getting really close. This summer he was on track. He was kind of meeting the standards. And he realized if there's certain things that are above and beyond what we're willing to pay for him, he's going to have to come up with it. And, you know, I intend on having a similar path for college and other extracurricular activities. And
exactly, because you're in Portland, where like you got to use this pressure washer to spray the stuff off the moss off the stuff. I'm in a desert where I guess we'd spray off the dust.
That's true. Everything grows here, man, even where you don't want it to.
Yeah. No, I'm just thinking about that. That is awesome.
Attention all real estate investors, business owners, stock traders, and anyone looking to get out of the rat race for good. We all know time is money, but did you know there's a wealth of resources on how to make more money, keep more money, and protect what you've earned all for free online? Anderson Business Advisors YouTube channel offers free resources on asset protection and tax reduction from lawyers and CPAs designed to help you keep more money in your pocket. To learn how to limit your liability, protect what you've earned, and minimize your tax burden all for free, subscribe to Anderson Business Advisors on YouTube today.
Did you get him a pressure washer?
No, actually, yes, I do. We have one. He's not trained on that. We're working on the lawn, and then we're going to graduate, or we're going to step up to the pressure washer. So
that is awesome. That is so cool. So he's 13 and he's already like, you know, you could have him work for any business that you have and you could always pay him.
See, that's
able
where
to do stuff.
That's where you will come in handy, my friend, is that there's some tax benefits to thinking that way as well.
Oh, shoot. Yeah. You never want to pay tuition out of your pocket. You want to pay your kid out of your business and let them pay for it. But they got to do something about
you. You know, this is a great story. Actually, the one that I'm talking about there is my son. He's 11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. My daughter's already babysitting and doing pretty well for herself. My six-year-old, this is like one of my favorite stories. So she goes into the dollar store because they were buying, I think, me birthday presents. I had a birthday recently. And my daughter is just like kind of filling up her cart. And my son, who's 11, is like, who kind of understands the value of money. He's like, Aretas, like, you can't buy all that. Like, you're going to run out of money. And he looks at her, and she looks at him and says, Corbin, we just have to make more lemonade. Like,
and she's figured it out.
Exactly, right? Instead of a scarcity mentality. Now, I'm also a fan of not spending all that you have or more than you have. But I thought sometimes we overcomplicate things, right? Is that I don't think like, no, stop. There's a scarcity of money. And she's just like, no, we'll just go make more lemonade. It's cool. Like, she's got a lemonade stand. She, like, some people tipped her well. And she's like, it's easy. We just make more lemonade and voila.
You make her pay for the lemonade.
That's right. Yeah, we got to work on her cost of goods. Not accounted for yet.
Yeah, I need a few more gallons, Dad. You're like, right. All right. Yeah. No, that's really cool. Like, again, I'm a big fan. My daughter just graduated from college. She's going to go to med school. She took the MCAT. She did really well, so she's all excited now. And I'm looking at the tuition, going, holy crap, it's expensive to become a doctor.
Like, yeah, boy, that's. Congrats to you, Dan. That's impressive. You raised a good daughter.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. But you look at it and you just realize that I cannot imagine what I would be like if I didn't have a wife and a child. You know, I'm not saying everybody needs to do it, but it's kind of bizarre. It really does shape who you are. I think of my partners in this business and how and what our focus is and what our goals are when we communicate with clients. How many are creating a legacy and how many are really creating? And I love it. I just love hearing people that are actually looking for something beyond just themselves. And yeah. I think that kids force us to be a little selfless.
Yeah, they really do.
Yeah, cool. Back to real estate. I don't know where we got that from, but
good little side note.
just a slight. Sometimes we go down the rabbit holes, but I like it. So that's what matters.
Probably keeps it interesting for the folks at home too.
Yeah. So, hey, if there was one or two things that you're seeing as big difference makers for the realtors that are actually having success, what would those one or two things be?
Yeah, I mean, I think step number one is that agents, sometimes they have a scarcity mentality, right? That don't make enough lemonade. They end up working with bad clients. They end up answering the call at all times of the day. Like step number one is probably always fundamentally, you need more business than you think you need, because that way you can say no to the stuff that doesn't fit your standards. You know, I believe the customer is always right, but not everybody has to be your customer. You can say, this isn't a fit. Let me refer you to somebody else. But if you don't have enough customers, you can't make that decision, and you're stuck working with people that are bad for your business, bad for your mindset, bad for your quality of life. And so I think step number one is agents need to spend more time developing business than they think they do.
Firing bad clients.
Yeah. Yeah. Creating the standard and sticking to it.
So rule number one is fire more clients.
Get more so that you can fire. How about that? Get more clients.
Give yourself an option of who you want to work with. What's another big one? And I agree with that 100%. There was a guy that said, do you want to make more money? Fire 20% of your clients every year. And I was like, are you kidding me? No way. I work too hard to bring them in. They're like, nah, just trust me on it. Now I'm kind of to see his point. What was number two?
Number two, I would say is like real estate agents need to have a voice. We're living in a time and an era again, where there are massive amounts of money being poured into changing the consumer mindset. And you know, they will continue to win over the mindset if agents continue to be afraid of video, continue to be afraid of speaking up, continue to be afraid of like educating and stepping into the expert role. Is that you are an expert. You need to wear the hat, step up and actually educate as many people as you can reach that you are different than technology. Okay. And I think overcoming that fear of video is only done by doing video. Like you just have to get over the fact that, you know, you are not a bookkeeper stuck in some back cubicle. You chose a public profession, whether you're in real estate, insurance, or whatever. You chose a public facing role, and you have to own that. And you need to get out and start speaking the truth about the difference between you and a highly tech operated offering.
Yeah. You're going to have to differentiate yourself and make yourself the only viable option. Anybody can go online. Anybody could call up the Yellow Pages. Again, I don't know if you still use Yellow Pages now. You Google. But anybody can go look around there. But in order to differentiate, they actually have to be able to figure out who the heck you are. I love that. So your organization, you know, the business that I see the TB behind you. Tell me about that.
TB stands for Think Bigger. That's something I've really gotten passionate about. I realize, you know, that well oft quoted adage, which is, you know, you are the sum average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think in times past, we were stuck with whoever was in our direct contact, physical contact. Part of, you know, this world in which we live now is that people are highly accessible. You know, I have Twitter conversations with Mel Robbins, who's a best-selling author. You know, I have, you know, just people who are major influencers. They're not as untouchable as you think they are. That you can actually get mentors that are far above and beyond you. And I think the purpose of my show was, number one, just selfishly to make me smarter. That if I could handpick who I wanted to be in conversations with, people like Toby Mathis every day, it's going to rub off on me and I'm going to have more to offer my clients.
I may have just took your sum total down a little bit.
Just, I don't think so.
I'm messing up with your average.
Don't think so. But that opportunity for me, again, to have a reason to reach out to people like you to say, hey, I'd love to have you on my show, puts us in conversation. It's a value offering for other people, right? And really the idea behind the Think Bigger is to expand people's thinking. Anything that they do in life was pre-created in their mind by their thoughts. So if you never think it, you'll never achieve it, right? Whereas if you think it, there's a good chance, and you think it regularly enough, and in the right perspective, there's a reality that that's going to come to fruition at some point. So starting to change the thinking, which influences the way people see themselves, the conversations they're having with themselves, then the conversations they're having with other people, and then the things that they're able to do, the life that they're able to lead, and the impact that they're able to have. But it all begins kind of in your own mind. And so I'm going to build in this community of people that want to think bigger, that realize that they were actually designed to do more than just kind of be a pawn, right? Or to kind of follow someone else's game plan, but to do something great themselves. That looks different for everybody out there, right? For some, it means owning a business. For some, it means being a key player in a business. For some, it means being great at being a dad and a husband. And for some, it means all of that, right? But like whatever that is for them is to reach be in pursuit of their potential, to be a student of human potential and realize that there's more that they can be achieving and contributing in the world. And it's a movement around that of people that resonate with that to say, yeah, there's more in me than what I'm showing right now. And I want to be around people that think that way and help me become that way.
I will. First off, that's awesome. And second off, I will put your link up with this podcast. It's Think Bigger Real Estate, right?
Yep. Thinkbigger.realestate. So .realestate. Sometimes people don't realize and they try and put a .com at the end, but it's actually thinkbigger.realestate is the website.
Thinkbigger.realestate. All right. I'll make sure I put a link because I'll butcher that up all day long. Thinkbigger.realestate. And I happen to agree. There was an old adage. I love to repeat it once in a while. It's not my drinking that's got me stinking. It's my stinking thinking that's got me drinking. It's the old checkup from the neck up. You're trying to figure out what's going on in the 8 inches between your ears, and it's going to lead us to do and limit ourselves when there's really no limits that have to be out there. Frankly, we're not all made the same. We all have talents and different abilities, and it's just doing the best with what you got. And everybody has the ability to maximize their potential, regardless of what that potential is.
Totally agree.
So I think that's cool that you're doing that. So I'll stick that out there. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, no, you know, I just express my gratitude for this conversation. You know, being around guys like you again, expand my thinking. I oftentimes ask at the end of my show, the Think Bigger Real Estate Show, I'll ask people, you know, what is something that you do to continue to be a big thinker? And I think, mm-hmm. you know, for me, as I've thought about that, like, what would I say? And I think it's intentionally having conversations with people like Toby Mathis and others that help expand my thinking, that there's no substitute for being around people that are doing really great things to inspire you to want to do great things. So I would just encourage people to continue to follow Toby and other big thinkers and watch what happens. Your life will start to change in a hurry.
Love it. And we're watching you too. I'm excited to see where you're at in the future. I always love this. The fact of the matter is, one of the coolest things about being in business is other business owners and watching them grow their businesses. And there's just, I've seen some really, some big explosions where you're like, wow, that happened. Remember the 99 Cent Only Stores with a friend of my mentors. I'm like, now they're everywhere. Wow. But I still crack up and I'm like, hey, I remember that when they first started. Or
it's really
pretty cool. So I'm going to keep, we'll keep our eye on you. And if our, if anybody listening wants to cruise on over to thinkbigger.realestate, do it. It's always good. It's good consumption of good information to help you be the best you. So I think that's awesome. So thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, it's my pleasure, Toby. Thanks again for the opportunity.
You got it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Show notes for links to everything mentioned in this episode can be found on our website at andersonadvisors.com/podcast. Be sure you subscribe to our podcast, and if you are already a subscriber, please provide us a review of what you thought of this episode.